Today's first Bible reading is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for that is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least amongst the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The second Bible reading is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius, governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. When they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Thank you, Ross. I think most of you have done this anyway, but even though you're sitting around tables, just get comfortable in terms of pointing your chairs this direction, and we can turn back to the table when we're ready to eat. And I believe the food will be arriving at 11, so looking forward to that. So yeah, looking at, as we say, Christmas now. You'd have to be kind of living under a rock if you didn't realise that Christmas is less than 2 weeks away. And I don't know whether it's me, but it seems like every year the advertisements and the decorations and all that sort of thing appear even earlier. So we certainly know that Christmas is just about here. But you know what? I reckon there's going to be a lot of people who are going to miss Christmas this year. Sure, they'll get involved in all of the social and family, functions. They'll get involved in all of the traditions, the tree, the decorations, the gift giving. You know, they'll have their ham or prawns or, whatever their Christmas fare is on the day. They'll go through all of that, and yet they will miss Christmas. They will miss the heart of Christmas, what it's really all about, its meaning, its significance, its power, its potential. They will miss it. It's a bit like the first Christmas. God was at work in amazing ways, in unprecedented ways. Things that were happening that first Christmas that were going to have eternal consequences. And yet, virtually everyone at the time missed it. And they missed it for two reasons. The same two reasons that many people will miss Christmas here in Australia today. It's either because they are unaware or because they are unresponsive. Now, today, like back then, most of the populace were totally unaware of the events that were happening in Bethlehem. They had no knowledge whatsoever. A bit like, in Australia today. Even though we're called a Christian nation, we've got all of those sort of traditions that kind of hark back to that, most people are totally unaware of what Christmas is really all about. If you went down the street, you asked, the average Aussie, what's Christmas all about? You get lots of different responses, but very few would actually mention the birth of Jesus. They are unaware. And of course, that's where we come in. We who know the truth, the reality, the depth, the power of Christmas, we who know the good news about Jesus, have a responsibility to share that good news with others so that they know too what we know, the good news of hope, as we've talked about this morning. Now, the second reason is that people will miss Christmas is not only because they're unaware, as most people are, but also because they are unresponsive, because their hearts are not in the right place. And that can apply as much to us as it does to everyone else. And there's three that I want to look at from that first Christmas story whose hearts were unresponsive and therefore they missed Christmas. The first one, of course, is the guest master. And the guest master was self-absorbed. I've called him the guest master. You know, there's a lot of sort of embellishments that have come into the Christmas story over the years that aren't there in the original narrative. Like this story that we read today. Did you notice that there's no mention of a donkey? Most Christmas stories have Mary riding on a donkey. There's no mention of a donkey. She may have, but she may have walked. We don't know. Okay, we have little drummer boys and all sorts of things kind of coming into the scene, don't we? And the other thing, of course, did you notice there was no mention of an inn or an innkeeper? Okay, that's interesting, isn't it? Most of us think that they were kicked out of the inn and they found a little stable in the back. That's probably not how it happened, okay, because they came to their ancestral home for the census, and as probably would have been the case, they would have gone to the patriarch's household, for lodging as family. And in those days, the typical home of any substance had rooms that were for, sleeping and living, but they also had a courtyard, and that was also part of the house. And at night time, they would bring the animals and they would corral the animals in the courtyard, and that's where the manger would be. So even though there was probably no bedroom available, they would have been in the courtyard of the house. By the way. I just wanted to let you know that, there's a lot of things in there that we assume that aren't necessarily the case. But I don't want to be too harsh on, the innkeeper or the patriarch or the guest manager, whoever he was, because, all of these people, all of the rels, all the gathering of the clan, the lodgings were overflowing, he would have been run off his feet, he was busy, he was distracted, he was all of those things, and I guess he's representative of many of us. We too, particularly in this, the silly season, as we call it. The lead up to Christmas, it's so busy, so much is happening. And in all of the busyness and in all of the distraction and in all of the noise and the hoo-ha, we can so easily, just not allow space or time or priority to Jesus. And we can be in that situation. In contrast to that, we have the shepherds minding the sheep out in the countryside. And here it's not about busyness, it's not about distraction and noise, it's about stillness and serenity. And to those who were still, God through his angels appeared and spoke. And to me that's a beautiful picture, as the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And it's in our stillness that God tends to speak to us. It's when we set aside some unhurried time and some undistracted space. When we are still, then God can speak into our lives. And we need that space. So the question for us is, this Christmas, will we put aside some time and some space, as in fact you are doing right now, where we can focus on what God has done for us, when we can focus on who Jesus is and what he means to us, and can we give him that room in our lives for him to have his way in us and speak into our situations. So, you know, the first person that we see miss Christmas in that sense was the innkeeper or the guest master of the home. Secondly, there was Herod. And we could see from the reading this morning that Herod became aware. He knew about the birth of the Messiah. He was informed about that by the Magi and then by the religious leaders who told him about the prophecy that he would be born in Bethlehem. So Herod knew that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. He was all too aware, but his response was not very positive, was it? He felt very threatened, and he became very fearful and troubled and anxious and worried. And rather than welcoming this new king, he tried to destroy him. Herod was quite a piece of work. He had a reputation, and he went to great lengths to protect his position and his political power. Not only did he, have murdered all of the baby boys around Bethlehem, but he even killed several members of his own family who he was threatened by at the time. By the way, another embellishment, the wise men weren't there at the nativity scene, don't you? They came later, maybe 12 or 18 months later, to the house and to the child. And the Greek talks about not a baby, but a young boy, and so or an infant. And so they didn't arrive until sometime later, as long as you realise that. Okay, so they came, they saw Herod, and unfortunately, you know, there are many people today who react to the birth of Jesus and to the King, God's attempt to reach out in love. They respond in the same way that Herod did. They see it as a threat. And rather than seeing God reaching out to them in love, offering them peace and joy and hope and the fullness of life and all of that, they don't see it in those terms. They think that God is somehow out to take away their fun or their friends or their freedom. They think that God's out to deprive them in some way. And look, I want to say today, God is not your foe. He is your friend. God is not against you. He is for you. He wants to enlarge and enrich your life, not diminish or deprive you. God is for you. And he has shown that very clearly in the sending of his son. Now, for all sorts of reasons, with all sorts of arguments, people say they don't believe in God or they don't follow. But at the heart often is fear. Like with Herod. You know, they fear loss of control. You know, I've got my life all planned out. I've got it all sorted. I don't want God coming in and upsetting the apple cart. And so they see God as a threat. On the other hand, there is the wise men, who did not respond in fear, but in faith. When they saw the star, when they understood the significance of the portent in the skies, they put everything else on hold. And they diligently sought. You know, it would have taken them, it seems like about 12 months or more, to get ready, prepared, and to go on the journey and finally get to Jerusalem. And they didn't react in fear. They responded in faith. And it wasn't about protecting what they had, like Herod. It was about coming in order to worship and to give Jesus what he was due, the honor that he was worthy of as the King of Kings. So Christmas celebrates this gift of God to the world, the gift, his love gift, you know, that brings light into a world of darkness, that brings hope where there is despair, that brings salvation and healing and grace and mercy where there is sin and brokenness. And so God has reached out to us in love. And oh, that we might receive his love, the love that he has for us in Christ. But tragically, there are many people like Herod who are resistant to love. I know that sounds strange. Resistant to love. Some people are resistant because they don't want to be vulnerable. They've been hurt in the past. They don't want to be hurt again. Some people resist love out of selfishness. Some people resist love out of control, wanting to manipulate and to stay, you know, in control. Some people do it out of fear, like Herod. They close themselves off to the love God has for them. And several times in the Christmas story, the angels come and their first message, be it to Zechariah or Mary or Joseph or the shepherds, is fear not, don't be afraid. And that's what, you know, God, in coming to us, says, don't be afraid, I am not coming against you, I'm coming for you. And I have your best intentions in mind. Perfect love casts out fear. So we find that there was the guest master who missed Christmas because he was too busy, too self-absorbed. We see that there was Herod who missed Christmas because, you know, he was too self-protective. And then there were the religious leaders who also missed Christmas because they were too self-sufficient. Did you know that not one of the religious leaders in Jerusalem decided to check out the report of the Magi, the wise men, at least as far as we know? None went to check it out, even though they knew from the prophecies that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, and the Magi told them that they had received the sign and this had happened. Do you know how far Bethlehem is from Jerusalem? 8 kilometres. Not that far. And so here was the birth of the Messiah. Here was Christmas happening, in a sense, right under their noses, but they didn't even go to investigate. And the reason they missed it is the same reason they missed his whole ministry. They missed his teaching. They missed his miracles. They missed his resurrection. In fact, they even, hid the evidence and sought to put out a lie to, you know, cover up what had really happened. It was because of their pride and their self-sufficiency. They didn't think they needed a saviour. They thought they were good enough. They were pious enough. They were religious. They were respectable. They didn't need a saviour. They could do it all themselves. There's a humility that is needed. There's a humility that is a prerequisite to receiving the forgiveness and the grace of God. Now, Jesus, the first of his beatitude is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who know they need God. Blessed are those who know they need God. We need God. When we have that need, when we have that humility, then we're open to receive his grace and his forgiveness. That's what we need. But they didn't have it. And Mary says in her song, she says, my soul, will put up on the screen, my soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble estate or state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. You know, the proud and the self-sufficient, he has brought down. But he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. And so this is how God works. And many miss Christmas because they don't appreciate, they don't recognize their need of a saviour and of God's forgiveness. And the angel said to Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And to the shepherds, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Messiah the Lord. You see, God could have come in power to subdue us. He could have come in judgment to condemn us. But no, he came in love to forgive and to heal and restore and reunite himself with us so we can be reconciled. And someone has said, and you've probably heard it, you know, if our greatest need was for information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need was for technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need was for resources and money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need was for pleasure and fun, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need is for forgiveness. And so God sent us a Saviour. A Saviour. Glory to God in heaven. On earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests. And so in Christ, God offers each one of us the greatest gift that was ever given, the greatest gift we could ever receive. For those who are self-absorbed, for those who are busy and burdened and caught up and anxious in all sorts of things, God offers us peace. And for those who are self-protecting, like Herod, you know, who are anxious and fearful and worried, God offers us his perfect peace. And for those who are self-sufficient, God offers us his grace and his goodwill, his forgiveness in Christ. James Simpson, Sir James Simpson, actually, one of the great discoverers and scientists of a previous generation. He discovered chloroform and many other things. And towards the end of his life, he was asked by a researcher reporter, of all of his discoveries, which was the greatest? What's the greatest discovery he had in his whole life? And you know what his reply was? He was a Christian. And this is what he said. I quote, he said, "The greatest discovery I ever made was that I am a lost and guilty sinner and that Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, is my Saviour." And that's the greatest discovery any one of us can ever make. That Jesus is our Saviour, that we need him for forgiveness. And so my prayer for each one of us is that we won't miss Christmas. We won't miss the full significance. We won't miss the depth or the wonder, the beauty and the power of Christmas, because we know Jesus as our Lord and our Saviour. Let's pray. You know, someone has said that Christmas began in the heart of God, and it is not complete until it ends in the heart of man. Oh, Heavenly Father, we want our hearts to receive the love and the grace and the goodness that you have for us in Christ. Lord, I just pray that we will experience that in a deeper measure. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who has yet to receive and to acknowledge and welcome into their lives Jesus as Lord and Saviour, that Lord, this Christmas time will be the time of decision and response and repentance. A time, Lord, when they welcome in your love, your goodness through Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to enter into a time when we remember this gift. Every week we have a time of communion where we share in the emblems that Jesus shared in with his disciples in that upper room before his crucifixion. There was the bread that spoke of his body given to them, and the cup which spoke of a new covenant, a whole new agreement, whole new possibilities made available through his blood. So through his sacrifice, I mean, he was born as a baby, and that's all very cute and wonderful, but he knew and was destined of him that he, not only his birth, but his death. And both his birth and his death were for our sake. His whole life was given as a sacrifice so that we might enter into the life that God has for us, into his forgiveness. And so as we share in these emblems, the bread, the cup, we reflect, we remember, we celebrate, and we again in faith enter into the grace that God has for us in Christ. So we're going to distribute those emblems now. Just stay seated where you are, and those who serve those emblems will come around and serve your table with these emblems.